I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
All right, a little back and forth here at the Worldwide Leader. So J.J. Redick, who has never met an opinion he didn't want to opine on, really took a shot at Doc Rivers, his former coach with the Clippers. He said that, you know, Rivers is an excuse maker. He's making an excuse now with the Milwaukee Bucks. He went on and on. And then it kind of got a little back and forth with several people. Let's listen first to what J.J. Redick said on First Take, calling out his former coach.
I've seen the trend now. I've seen the trend for years.
What's the trend?
The trend is always making excuses. Doc, we get it. Taking over a team in the middle of the season is hard. It's hard. We get it. Just like getting traded in the middle of season is hard for a player. We get it. Mm-hmm. But it's always an excuse. It's always throwing your team under the bus. They lose to Memphis. Oh, it's his player's fault. Memphis was playing G League guys and two-way guys. And then you look at his quotes over the weekend. Now he wants to take credit for the James Harden trade to the Clippers working out. He wants credit for that. There's just no opinion. There's never accountability with that guy.
All right, so he takes a shot at Doc, which is his right. It's First Take. You're supposed to give your opinions. Pat Beverly then took shots at
another guy who did never met an opinion he didn't like.
Never met an opinion he didn't like, and Beverly went after him, and he just said, "You, this guy saved your career, and now you're going at him once you get on TV." And Redick went back and said, "Save my career." He said, "I had a 4-year offer from another team. He didn't save my career." Then Beverly fires back at him again and says that Redick got torched by James Harden when the Clippers lost a 3-1 lead to the Rockets. And Beverly goes, "If I'm being honest, he should have started Jamal Crawford." Then Redick, 11 minutes ago, comes back and said, "Luckily, the cameras in the arenas have better eyes than you. 289 half-court matchups, 21-56 shooting by Harden as a contesting defender, 37.5% field goal percentage, 0.94 points per direct ISO allowed on 37 isolations. I guess that's getting torched. 3?" And then Austin Rivers, Doc's son, he joins the fray. And Austin Rivers now works for us. And this is what he said on NBA Today.
First off, I don't feel responsible for my dad. He's a grown man. He could do his own thing. But in this regard, I just simply don't agree with it. For someone who's not accountable, he seems to always be held responsible, considering he's the guy that's always fired when things don't go right. He got fired in the bubble for a 3-1 lead versus the Denver Nuggets, which in half his team didn't want to be there. They had players saying that their mind wasn't there. He had guys leave. That happened. Then he gets fired for losing to a team that was favored over him, which was the Celtics last year. It seems like he's always responsible. It's just strange coming from JJ. And I have some love for JJ. You're my dookie. You know that. You're my bro. I love you. It's just your best years were with the Clippers. I don't think he saved your career. I appreciate you, Pat. But I don't think this just seems a little bit weird. They're 3-7. Dame's missed most of those games. Middleton's missed a lot of those games. They haven't even had their full team yet. We'll see what happens. The pressure is there. They do have to perform. But in terms of accountability, like, what are we doing here? Your best years in the NBA were when you played for him in the Clippers. Let's not forget that. I don't know if there's like frustration there or there's tension there between you. I know a lot of times we had to sit you towards the end of the game due to defensive reasons, but you had your best years as a starter there. Especially our whole system was drafted around you because you're a shooter. You're not a guy who could put the ball on the floor. You were a strictly shoot guy. You're not like Klay Thompson or Steph who could put the ball on the floor. You were a guy who could catch and shoot. And you did it at a high level. Hell of a career, by the way. Big fan. But your best years were under him. It's just very ironic and kind of weird that you have this energy towards him in terms of him never, ever being accountable, considering he's always been responsible. That would be my response.
Oh, man, I love it. Getting nasty, but I'll tell you what, Doc brought this on himself. He broke a contract with ESPN to bail out to take the Buck job. He was a Buck consultant behind the scenes when no one knew about it, including ESPN. He took the job that Adrian Griffin got fired for, and now the team's 3-7. So you're going to be in the crosshairs of a lot of people. And then Doc doesn't help himself, like taking credit for the James Harden trade. You know, he told the Clippers that he'd be better with you than he would be with the stop. Doc, too many opinions. Just get the Buck straightened out.
But I will say this: everything JJ might have said might have been true, but I know because I'm petty. And I have people that I'm waiting in the tall grass for, okay? You believe me, people can listen to my morning show all the time. They know the people that I wait in the tall grass for. And when the opportunity comes up, I'll take a shot. JJ looked like he was waiting for an opportunity to take a shot. That's how it felt to me. It didn't feel that way to you?
Well, maybe. He probably, like even Austin said, maybe there's something between them. I don't know. Let's listen to Doc Rivers on Sirius XM on the Bucks firing Griffin.
Personally, I'll be honest. I told our owners when they called, I said, I think I don't understand why you're doing this, you know? And they said, you know, one of the things they said was, well, it doesn't matter. We've done it now. And we want you. And so that was a tough one. That's where you had the hesitation.
So, I mean, a lot of things there. I don't think Doc has helped himself with this whole Buck thing. I just don't think he's helped himself. No. I think he looks bad. I mean, you signed on with ESPN and said you're going to be there at least a year, and you left midway. You kind of left the whole number one team in flux. Now J.J. Redick is the guy that's going to replace him and work with Mike and Doris. So it's on Doc. Doc had a pretty pristine reputation. He blew a lot of 3-1 leads. I get it. He won a championship with the Celtics. But the reputation was always good. But then when you break a contract with ESPN and then you go to the Bucks and you were secretly, covertly, like advising them, and then you get Adrian Griffin's job, and then you've been terrible since you took over. I mean, all of these things are going to make you look bad.
None of it looks good, but also none of that was what J.J. said.
No, J.J.'s talking about...
There's something else. Yeah. There's another personal thing that's there.
And I love the way his son defended him, but there is a difference between accountability and the fact that you're responsible. Yeah, you're going to lose your job if you don't do a good job. But that doesn't mean that you can't deflect responsibility when things are looked upon. There's always an excuse for everything, but he seems to be making a lot of them here. But we'll find out if right now they haven't been able to turn it around. But it does take a little time. I still think that they will end up being okay. He's still a good coach.
But they can't play defense. His job is to get them to play defense. Well, they don't have players that can play defense. You got rid of Jrue Holiday. You brought in Damian Lillard. You didn't improve your defense. You improved your offense.
But because this is happening with the Islanders and Patrick Waugh. Sometimes you make a coaching change because you just want to spark the team. Maybe a different voice in the room will get them to overachieve. When that's asked of you, then there should be an immediate response. But when you're brought in to change a system... That takes time, Michael. If a team's not playing defense and you're trying to bring in a defensive system, that does take a little time to work, especially on the professional level, where these guys maybe aren't as used to being coached as they would be in high school or college. So he wasn't brought in to spark something. He was in to fundamentally change the way they play defense. That's going to take some time. But once they get there, I think they'll be better off.
Got some news on the Knicks. I just want to. I saw this one tweet. You know, we opened the show talking about how Met fans are angry at Little Yankee Boy because I spoke what I thought was the truth, and Don and I had a nice spirited debate about it. So, Precocious Neophyte. Mm-hmm. I think I know the guy. So Met fans, I don't pay attention to what Yankee fans have to say about the Mets ever. That was Willie Gaga. Okay, great. So Dre Jackson, the Bronx, I think it's Andre Jackson, who I did go to school with in public school, writes, especially this Yankee love since I knew him, which was the third grade. He can talk all that bleep he wants to about not being biased toward them. He can't talk that to me. Andre, really? Are we adults here? What I thought in third grade I carry as a professional and a 63-year-old man? You really believe that? You really, really, but that's the way you look at me. I guess I made quite the impression of you. Of course, as a third grader, I was head over heels in love with the Yankees. I'm a professional now.
First of all, never judge somebody on how they were when they were, you know, 9 years old.
Crazy.
All right, that's a little stupid. The guy, he's a 63-year-old man now. I think he's matured and changed. But the one thing fans don't get is that you do reach a certain level where you have to be professional. Michael is the announcer for the New York Yankees, so it does benefit him to be a Yankee guy. But come on, at 63 years old, you think he does an afternoon drive show for 3.5 hours, that he has to maybe put fandom aside and just be a professional?
Really?
But you don't do it for a living, so I don't expect you to understand out there as a fan that if you're a plumber or a doctor or a dentist, you could be Joe Fan and you could be exactly the way you were when you were 9 years old. But when you get to a professional level, I mean, you've got to change a little bit, right?
That is such weak sauce, Andre. Really, you're better than that.
You don't even know that he's better.
We don't know he's better.
That was 1970. That was the height of my love for the Yankees. He's applying that now to a 63-year-old man who's a professional, who's you know, somewhat objective. Do I want the Yankees to win because it's good for yes and good for all of us? Absolutely. I root for my company. I root for myself.
You root for you.
But, I mean, you think I'm the same kid that used to wear Yankee shirts to school? Andre, please come back to me, babe. You look so bad with that comment. You're acting like you're uncovering like the secret sauce, and it's weak sauce. You sound ridiculous.
But in defense of these types of fans, like, they don't get it. They really do think that that's the way you're going to be for the rest of your life, because I don't know what he's doing for a living, Michael. Maybe, you know, he's a professional. I don't know what he does for a living. But if you don't work in sports, if you don't work for a team, you know, then you can afford to be just like you were when you were 9 years old. I mean, I know guys that are just as diehard for the teams as they were when I grew up with them as kids. Because they sell insurance or they sell cars or whatever, and they can do that. But when you become a professional and you do a talk show where you're expected to talk about the other teams in the market along with the New York Yankees, listen, it works for some people in this business that they can just be over-the-top fans and not be biased and have no forward thinking whatsoever. But I've worked with Michael for 20 years, and we certainly worked at a time in this business where that was not looked upon as being professional, that you're going to change over time.
Also,
you're just going
to. I mean, you're privy to it. Peter's privy to it. I have said some really pointed things about people with the Yankees, and I've had screaming matches on the phone with said people.
Right.
So please stop the nonsense. You're all embarrassing yourself. You're embarrassing your family and everybody that came before you.
Family too?
Yeah, they're embarrassing
the ancestry.
Yeah.
I don't have to build up Michael, all right? He's already there. He's already built up. He's a grown man. But I'm going to tell you that there are people that work in this market for teams that if we're offered a talk show, they wouldn't take it because they know they wouldn't be professional enough about it, because they wouldn't be able to shut off their fandom and their love for the team. I remember this guy getting eviscerated in 2005, Peter, killed by Yankee fans because he predicted, and rightly so, that the Angels would beat the Yankees in the playoffs. How could you go against the Yankees, Michael? You're the Yankee announcer. Because he does a talk show and he believed the Angels were going to win, and he was proven right.
Professional.
And when I crushed them when they got swept by the Astros, crushed them. Believe me, I heard about it. Doesn't stop me because I have a job to do.
But
crushed them. Crushed them in 2004 when they blew a 3-0 lead. I said they'll never get out from under that. It will always be connected to them like a stink. I heard about it, but you're going to tell me the third grade Michael loved the Yankees. He did. He adored the Yankees. Yeah. Michael K. at 63 is living that 9-year-old's dream. Doesn't mean I'm the same person. Andre, come on, baby. You're better than that.
I want to agree. The thing is, I'm frustrated because I want to agree with these people and just call Michael Yankee boy because he has his moments. But you gotta come with better stuff than this. No. And why don't they call? It's always in a tweet.
Because they're gutless.
But stop being a gutless little puke.
But here's one I will
say. Call the man.
Here's where I'll go, if you want. Michael is not Yankee boy, but I don't think he has any love for the Mets.
You think he's a Met hater more than a Yankee boy?
But I don't think that's because he's Yankee boy. I just don't think he's very, very fair to the Mets.
Well, you know what? I think I am fair to them, but do I have an axe to grind with them? They fired a guy that I really like a lot for no reason whatsoever.
Ryan, the Yankees also let go of him.
No.
Unfortunately, just before you knew him.
So they were.
Knew him well.
I knew him well then, but the bottom line is they begged him to come back, and he said no.
I know, I didn't like it either, Michael, but, you know, that happens, and we'll find out if they're right or wrong.
And I believe, you know, I don't know David Stearns. I've never met him. I've never spoken to him. It's not a good look that you didn't even talk to the manager before you fired him. Didn't even talk to him. You had your lackey, Billy Epler, do it. You didn't have the guts to do it. Don't tell me you did it afterward. You could have waited till after you got hired to fire him and talk to him. Maybe he could have been just the perfect guy for you, but you couldn't wait. That's not a good look for David Stearns. It's not. And am I biased because I like Buck Showalter? I consider him a really close friend? Yes,
I didn't like it either.
It's awful. It's amateurish.
But unfortunately, it's where the business is now, and it stinks. But if you don't like the guy, you meet with him, you tell him, listen, we love you, but you're not going to stick around. I'm going to go and get another manager.
Right. You don't do it with somebody else.
That's the way you do it. No, there's no question. I don't know if that's a Met thing or a Stearns thing, but I think that the whole Yankee boy, it's just so old. It's so tiresome.
And I truly, it doesn't really bother me. I almost feel bad for the people that use it. If they knew what I have to go through, as you know better than it, the tightrope I have to walk, and I'm as honest as I can be on this air. I rip that team a lot.
No, you do. But there's unfortunately nowhere to compare it to, because it's not like Sam Rosen does a talk show or Gary Cohen does a talk show or anybody that's the voice of a team in the New York market. I know Bob Papa does a talk show on Sirius, but it's one of the reasons why you don't see a lot of people that do play-by-play for a team do a talk show, because they would not be able to handle both the whole idea of being dubbed boy of the team that they root for, or have to go through what you go through, getting ripped by the Yankees every time that you criticize them, which happens more often than you would
like.
And
you know what? It's not like they say you better not say that, but they want to have their say. They're allowed.
Of course.
They're allowed to take a piece of me and yell, and I'll yell back, and then we go to our corners and do our job.
Because they get it.
They understand.
But there's a lot of organizations that don't understand it and don't get it.
All right, so the Knicks finished off the first half, the titular first half, because you know they're well past the 41
well
game mark. And now there are injuries we have to deal with. So Tom Thibodeau, the Knicks get back on the court tomorrow. Tom Thibodeau talked about the latest on Julius Randle.
We're just taking it step by step. I think it's premature to say anything until you have all the information. So right now he's preparing to come back to play. He's putting a lot into it. He looks good. He's got a great spirit about him. He's working out twice a day. So all things are good right now.
All right. Now, Julius Randle, though, poured a little cold water on it. He was asked, when will you be back?
I think I plan to be on the court April 1st, probably. Just kidding. Gotcha. Early. Gotcha. No, I'll just take it a day at a time, man. To be honest, every day I'm getting stronger, I'm getting better. So just taking it a day at a time, just continue just to try to just stay locked in on, you know, what I have to do to continue just to get healthy, not just physically, but mentally as well, you know.
Now, they followed up by saying, will you eventually need repairs done?
We'll see. You know, I've heard many different opinions. Both. We'll see. I like how I feel today as far as, you know, getting better and feeling stronger and progressing to where I need to be as far as getting on the court. But I'm never somebody to say never. So ultimately, you know, I have to do what's best for, you know, myself to have a long career and, you know, have longevity in this. But training staff has been great, getting me back healthy and, you know, feeling better. So it's a progress.
So obviously, surgery is still on the table. Still on the table.
Yeah.
And he's not guaranteeing that he's going to be back this year. It's trending that way, but there is absolutely no guarantee. Now, OG Anunoby, waiting on him, he was asked, will you be back during the regular season?
Yeah, sure. Hopefully, just follow the doctor's orders, follow the medical staff. It's progressing day by day, but I'm feeling better and better. So, yeah, I want to be back as soon as possible with him.
So there you have it. That's the most important. Then Mitchell Robinson, there's also a chance he could come back.
But we're running out of road here. There's not that many games. What, 28 games left? So when you start talking about, yeah, I think he'll be back before the end of the season, but when? Is it 8 games left? 10 games? 15? It's going to matter, because they're trying to battle to get home court in the first round. This is a team that looked like they were projecting out to be a possible top 3 seed. And now you wonder, are they going to finish 5th or 6th, which is basically the path that they took last year.
And it doesn't have to be that way, but if they don't get people back, it's going to get tough.
Well, and what do they got, Michael? Boston tomorrow? They got two really tough games out of the box.
Let me see.
I think Boston's first, no?
Yeah, I think Boston's tomorrow.
I'd look on my computer, but...
But you can't get in. You and Donna.
I've been undoing IT stuff for 4 hours.
Okay. It's Philly. It's a big game.
And then Boston, right?
Philly and then Boston at New York Saturday.
And then they got the layup against Detroit, the third game out. So even with everybody healthy, those are really two tough games coming out of the box here. And now you're running out of time, and they're definitely a playoff team. There's no question. And I guess if you get everybody back in time for the playoffs, you should be okay. Although I do think there's some chemistry to build up, because really, how much have they really all played together since the trade deadline?
Well, we're talking next. We have to check in with Spike, right?
I think so.
Spike in St. Pete. Spikey.
Hi, Spike.
Hey, guys. Well, first of all, Peter, my condolences. You know, I got to digress a little bit and I'll get into that. I had a similar situation. Obviously, I'm an old man and I have an illness, and I had to procrastinate on information given to me, and I checked it out as thoroughly as possible. I made the decision. I wound up making the incorrect decision because something in between when the procedure was done and when I made the decision changed. I'm fine. I'm not going anywhere until Knicks win another championship. That's what I told everybody. But to be taken from the earth, such a wonderful person at that age, it just breaks your heart. I don't know how you even... it's just to count your blessings. All you guys are blessings to all the people that listen, myself included. And Michael always says it, and you make fun of him, and he's dying tomorrow, and the iron lung. Take nothing for granted. So let me get back to the candy store, otherwise I'll fall apart. The Knicks need back in this order. This is the way I see it. Because we fleeced them, I hate to use that word too, but we fleeced them in that trade, Masai Ujiri. We need to get Hartenstein and Anunoby back, and we can plug Precious Achiuwa, who in the first four or five games, guys, he didn't play that well, but Thibodeau sat him down with the coaches and they watched film over and over and over again. He's become a Thibodeau-type player.
Yep.
No one had any idea. It was a 20th draft pick about 3 or 4 years ago, and the kid plays balls to the wall and just is a terrific defender right now. I'm not saying we don't need Julius Randle, but the floor is a lot more open. The assists have gone up and the turnovers have gone down. But you can't win without him or with him. It'll be fine. They'll have pressure legs. We'll see how it goes. And I'll leave you with this. Again, I'm reiterating, count your blessings, guys, because you don't know what tomorrow will bring.
You hang in there, Spike.
Thanks,
thank you,
Spike.
So much.
For sure.
All right, we'll come back, take your phone call. So somebody on Twitter just told Andre, you just got owned. but then Andre comes back. It's funny how people, you know, they just say what they want. He said, I can't be crushed, Justin. I just caught the tail end of that. If that's what he wants to portray, I understand. By crushing me, as you say, must have struck a nerve. Didn't strike a nerve. You were wrong. What you said was foolish. To compare a 9-year-old to a 63-year-old and think I'm still that child, that makes you look bad. Didn't strike a nerve with me.
No.
I'm just cleaning up the mess that you made on aisle three. So I hope you heard it. I hope since you got the tail end of it, I hope you got the full end this time.
I just want, you know what? Yeah, go back and listen to the podcast. You can find it wherever podcasts are available, and you can hear yourself get pwned, as they used to say.
And really, I remember Andre. We were close friends at school.
Yeah.
I mean, to say.
And you grew up.
You
actually remember this guy?
Yeah, I do. Good kid. We actually were close.
Well, when did he become a yo-yo?
I don't know. I mean, we drifted apart. I mean,
no, one guy grew up and the other guy didn't.
Well, I wouldn't say that.
I'm saying.
I'm just saying he's Don't saying say that the 9-year-old Michael K.
Right.
loved the Yankees so much, so he's got to be that same boy
right,
now.
Because he's the same boy, so he figures everybody else would be.
Michael's a man. Look at him. He's all man. Look
Andre's
at
Andre's a man, too.
Look, stop backing off.
Yeah, your game is... What's the matter with you? You
finish
go
him.
After people
again.
Well,
finish him off.
I did finish him off, but I'm not gonna. He's a man. He's a.
Well, I didn't say that. I'm just saying if he thinks of you as a child, I'm not saying he's not a man. I'm saying look at this guy. He's all man. Look at the filth on his face. That disgusting, weird.
It's because of you.
Gray thing that's growing.
Because here. Of you.
Well, because of my dominance.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Bay Ridge Honda, your go-to Honda dealer serving the five boroughs of New York, is celebrating President's Day with their Dollar Down President's Day event. Drive home a brand new Civic or HRV with just $1 down, or keep your current ride running smoothly with $1 oil changes. Shop the Dollar Down President's Day event only at your President's Award winner, Bay Ridge Honda, online at BayRidgeHonda.com. $1 down payment with approved credit for well-qualified buyers. Not all will qualify. Oil change plus tax, shop supplies and disposal fee, diesels and some models higher, limit one per customer, up to 5 quarts of oil, no further discounts apply. See dealer for details. Ends 2/29/24. Listen up, everybody. It's Michael K. When it comes to travel, nothing beats Legends Limousine. I felt the difference. I have, personally, and let me tell you, it's real. When my family and I needed a ride to the airport and then coming back from out of town, we chose Legends. We could not be happier. They were great. The cars were unbelievable, clean. The drivers were amazingly attentive. I can't recommend them more highly than I'm doing right now. Their commitment to safety makes every trip a breeze. These guys are not just any service. They've been setting the gold standard for over 30 years. I trust them, and so should you. Call 1-888-LEGENDS. That's 1-888-534-3637. Again, 1-888-534-3637. And use the code ESPN10, ESPN the number 10, to snag 10% off. Travel like a legend with Legends Limousine.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's take some phone calls, baby. 530 phone banks. Let's do it. Let's go to Raul in Pennsylvania. Raul.
Hey, what's up? It's Ralph.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. Michael, don't let these fans get to you, all right?
Nah, they don't.
I got some positive news for the TMKS.
Okay.
I do Uber and limo, and there's a couple of ladies, and they always hear you guys and just want to give you a shout out. They love it. They
really?
Love it, man. Yeah, I do Uber, and I
do they love our looks, Raul, or how we sound?
Right. Yeah, I showed them a picture on the podcast. They said, "Wow, they look amazing."
Well, now,
yeah.
Now he's just lying.
Now yeah. We know, Raul.
Are these women elderly?
No, listen. Sometimes I'm working, so I don't get to listen to you guys. So I put the podcast.
Love it.
So yeah, just you're breaking news everywhere, man. Everybody's loving you.
Oh, beautiful.
And I just got a couple of points. Two of them.
All right.
It's injury related from last year. Like Don, what do you think Edwin Diaz is going to bring for the table this year? You think he's going to bounce back and help the Mets at least get to the playoffs?
Well, I don't know. I don't know if he can be as good as he was the year before, but I think he's got an outstanding chance to be an elite closer again. Don't you? He had a question for you.
I think he'll be the best in baseball. He didn't have a bad year last year. He got hurt. He'll be great.
No, yeah, but. You know, it usually goes every other year with these guys.
Nah,
I mean,
could he
be at that level he was 2 years ago?
I can't wait to have Timmy again.
I think it ran its course, mm-hmm. quite frankly, but it was fun when it was happening.
Do you know that Charlie, you know, he pitched a little bit and he gave me like the MP3. He said, "Can you play this when I come in?" And it was Timmy Trumpet. I said, No.
But even if it wasn't a Met thing, you want to be the dad that like has intro music for his son?
No.
You want to be that guy?
Believe me, there are all those guys out there.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I got to get ready for this.
Let's go to Anthony in Jersey City.
What's up, Ant?
Hey, what's up, guys?
How you doing? Good.
Good. So I want to talk a little Yankees, but first, quickly, I want to commend you, Michael, for growing out that disgusting thing on your face.
You
just called it. I called up last week and got on your case about it, saying you would never do it, and you're proving me wrong.
I'm a man of my word, Anthony.
Yeah,
I'm a good person.
It's grosser than we thought.
Yeah, it's awful.
I kind of agree with Don, though. I think you should shave what you have, just the Pusick. It'll look even more horrible, and that'll be good.
Well, I thought it would look better, but you think it's going to look horrible. Okay.
Well, thanks for your input.
What I wanted to say about the Yankees, I'm a little concerned with, like, listen, I'm very excited for this Yankee season. They had a great offseason. I'm not one of those people who are always hating on them. But I am a little concerned with their third base situation and also just their infield as a whole, because right now it's basically just DJ penciled in at third, right?
No, you've got Volpe at short and Rizzo at first and Glaber at first.
No, second. I'm talking about third base specifically.
Yeah,
third base
specifically. DJ LeMay is the third baseman, yes.
And I don't feel very confident that he'll be able to play 162 games, let alone play even like really a full season. I feel like it's very likely that he's going to get injured. And if he does get injured, then that adds in Peraza as your starting third baseman, who's not been very good offensively since he's been in the league. He has kind of enough plate appearances now to take a look at that. And also, Oswaldo Cabrera has been horrible offensively, and it adds kind of both of those guys into that mix, because you know the Yankees like to platoon and rest guys, so it's like going from DJ
But what do you want? I mean, you want them to have Greg Nettles behind DJ? I mean, you can't back everybody up with an all-star. You just can't.
Yeah, so. No, I don't know. It just feels a little thin. Like if one injury happens in the infield, it turns
and
into
DJ is getting to a stage of his career where he could get hurt again. He has gotten hurt.
Right.
I can understand you want to have some depth there, but you're right. You can't have an all-star at every position.
No, you can't. You can have an all-star at every position. You can't have a backup all-star at every position.
Well, that's what I mean. I mean, you can't just replace an all-star with an all-star, but I can understand you being a little dubious that DJ's going to stay healthy all year.
Let's go to Nas in Queens. Nas.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Just want to say my condolences to Peter. That's really tragic, and sorry to let you go through that right now.
Thanks, bud.
And not a problem. I just want to make a comment about last night's Rangers game. So I put in a two-team parlay for Moneyline Rangers and Chris Kreider goal.
Okay.
Chris Kreider, at the last second, cleared that puck, which went into the goal. It took me 30 minutes to figure out my DVR to put it on slow-mo, but you can see that the puck clearly crossed the line with at least 0.1
Well, based on the MSG graphic... But I called the game, and when I saw the puck going to the net,
right,
I said in my call, this is not going to count, because I saw the green light come on, the red light never came on, and I heard the horn before the line crossed. I didn't think it was really that close. The NHL's still going to look at it, because even though the game is already decided, they're going to look at it and see. So just because MSG had 0.2 on their graphic doesn't mean that's what Toronto has, that's what's in the arena. And I got the sense calling the game that puck crossed the line after the
Did that cost you money, Nas?
That cost me a lot of money. I put down a dime, and the two-team parlay was plus 250, so it was going to pay out $2.5K.
Well, and listen, but the NHL's not in the business of taking goals away that count. So the idea that it wasn't looked at, like I was listening earlier, to like people, oh, they don't want the Rangers to have the extra goal. They hate Kreider. They are going to look to see if it crossed the line, and it didn't. And everybody's going off the graphic on MSG, but why does everybody think that exactly matches what the NHL has?
But what could the NHL have? I mean, they're getting MSG's feed or the other team's feed.
Well, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's always in sync with the actual arena. You don't think the NHL looked back to see if that crossed the line?
I'm sure
they
did.
Just said, well, listen, it doesn't matter anyway. What's the difference between 3-1 and 4-1? There are incentive clauses in contracts. Guys want goals to count.
And Nas lost $2,500.
Well, I don't know if that's their motivation, but it should be, right? I mean, if the goal counts, it counts. You shouldn't just say, oh, well, what does it matter anyway? Now, all bets usually are a goal and a half, and the Rangers won by two, so it probably doesn't affect that. But for parlays or incentive clauses in contracts for hitting the 30-goal mark or 40-goal mark or whatever it is, I got the sense, calling the game, that it crossed the line after the horn. Now, if they've got footage from Toronto that say that crossed the line before the clock zeroed out, I'd like to see it. And not the MSG graphic. I want to see the actual overhead with the clock in the arena and what is synced up to Toronto. That's the one that's supposed to
count.
But
the MSG, I mean, in fairness to MSG, the clock they're showing is the arena clock. It's off the arena clock, right?
Yeah, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's always. That's not what they when they show. If that went to replay, if that game, for let's sake of argument, there wouldn't be an empty net with the game tied.
Right.
But let's say there was a situation on whether a goal was scored, whether the clock zeroed out or not. They wouldn't show the graphic on television. They would show you an overhead where the puck crossed, and then they would show the actual arena clock or the clock that they're following in Toronto in a box that would say whether it crossed the line or not. I have yet to see that. All I keep seeing is the graphic on MSG, which I have to assume was out of sync. Otherwise, they would have credited Kreider with the goal.
Time for Inside the Numbers, brought to you by Eisner Amper. This is Artemi Panarin's fourth season with 75 or more points as a member of the Rangers. He's a seventh player in Rangers history with four or more 75-point seasons, and the first player to do that since...
Don?
Just repeat the question for me. I can buy a little time.
Seventh player in Rangers history with four or more 75-point seasons, and the first player to do that since...
Messier.
91-92 to 96-97. That's Inside the Numbers, brought to you by Eisner Amper, a leading business advisory firm helping clients create a winning game plan to transform knowledge into action for your business. Check out Eisner Amper Solutions Insight Resources at EisnerAmper.com/solutions. Let's go to Bobby in Long Island. Robert.
Yeah, hi, guys. Before I get to Judge and the Alonzo, LeMahieu is the oldest non-starter in a first baseman in the league. So, you know, I guess the guy does have a point. Now, let me get to Alonzo. You know that Goldsmith, Freeman, and Olsen make under $30 million. There's no way he's getting four. Those are the three third first basemen that are better than him. Overall, and he's not getting $40 million. He'll be even lucky to get $35 million. Now, let me get to what I wanted to call about, and I'm surprised you guys didn't even mention this yet. The judge maintenance toe issue. Now, do you expect him to play?
We did mention it yesterday, Bobby. But go ahead.
Oh, I apologize.
That's all right.
I'll forgive you.
But today was okay. I don't know if you mentioned this yesterday, but you have an immovable object in right field in Soto. Now, if judge cannot handle center field close of his toe, what are you going to do? Are you going to sit Stanton and put Soto at the DH and move Judge to right and play Chisholm at center? I mean, there's no way to put Judge at left because it's too much field. So what happens if a situation where
it's easy. You put Judge in right and you'd suck it up and have Soto in left and play Verdugo in center and then back him up with Grisham. Well, you're saying that if his toe is an issue, so Bobby, they don't just throw their hands up in the air and say, we give up. They'd have to have Soto play left. He's not a good outfielder, but that's what they'd have to do.
Yeah, but I mean, do you think that's going to be, that could be a
big
problem?
But why would his toe be an issue in center, but not in right? He's still standing on his feet.
Well, there's less movement in center field. He's got to cover a lot more field in center field than right field. Wouldn't I think? I mean, we'd be doing a lot more running at center.
Well, I mean, once Dominguez comes back, he's probably in center field. And then if Stanton doesn't hit, Bobby, then Soto becomes your DH and then Judge is in right. But again, if it was such a problem that he's roaming too much real estate in center field, then they'd put him in right. They'd suck it up and have Soto in left, which they don't want to do. And Verdugo would play center. It's not like something you'd really weaken your defense, but your biggest concern is keeping Judge healthy. I mean, you're painting these dire situations. I didn't like when I heard the toe stuff, that it's going to be with him the rest of his career.
It's a chronic situation.
Yeah, that's a concern. But, I mean, center field or right field, he's still on his feet for 9 innings.
He's going to have a lot of maintenance days, I'm sure.
Well, it's game time, brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. St. John's looks to improve its lateral movement against Georgetown at 7. Boy, Rick Pitino really did triple down. Didn't insult anybody. Said they can't move in the lottery, but it wasn't a rip. That's game time, brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, triple cask matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew. Try the brand new Tullamore Dew Honey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. We'll come back with the point guard and more of your phone calls, ENN at 6. But first, Don wants to tell you about a car.
I want to tell you about a car, and it's a great car, and it's 2024. You get more at Ramsey Mazda. More selection, more savings for a limited time. They'll waive their first lease payment. Lease a new 2024 Mazda CX-90 for just $399 a month. And now get your first lease payment on them at Ramsey Mazda, Route 17 North in Ramsey. Choose wisely. Choose Ramsey Mazda. Call 833-853-2970 for lease details. Excludes tax, title, and registration. Zero security deposit. VIN R1145418. MSRP $41,565 and $229.24.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
The point's gone.
You have made no good points, Peter.
You're so right, Michael.
I think you made some salient points.
Yeah, because you're an ass. How can the Nets be more valuable than the Mets? How? In what world? Now, you say about new building. Well, the city field's not old. The Mets are 77th. They're tied with the Memphis Grizzlies. And the Nets, they can't get a sniff in their own town. So is it the television contract? Is it the build? Like, I need to know what world. And I'm not being Met boy. I'm just saying that the Nets would be more valuable by 22 than a Major League Baseball team in New York.
Where are we standing now? This is Wednesday, so how are we looking at?
Well, Richard won yesterday.
Yep.
And 1-1 between you and Don.
Oh, it's going to be.
You missed that, Peter.
It's going to be a Don.
Richard got the dub?
Yeah, just for the why don't they call it winter training? It's in the winter, not spring.
In some ways, it's that strong.
It just summed up yesterday pretty well.
And then, this sums up yesterday really well. Why do they call it spring training? It's not spring. It should be winter training. Winter playing, whatever. Winter's training.
I think we would have heard that.
We'll hear it again. I was just trying to be preemptive.
You're getting out front.
Thank you. You see what I'm doing. Let's go to Kayvon in Manhattan. Kayvon, what's up?
Hello. First of all, I'd like to say to Peter, please accept my condolences on the loss of your friend. And I'd like to express my gratitude to the Michael K. Show because you're helping me. You're helping to smooth out a rough patch on my path of life every day. So thank you.
I'm sorry you're going through
there, man.
Thanks, man.
I have what I think is a great idea for a Would You Wednesday.
Okay.
Now, this is a leap year, which happens to be Thursday, a week from tomorrow, mm-hmm. the 29th. So every leap year, every 4 years, that becomes Sadie Hawkins Day. Where eligible females chase after eligible young men mm-hmm. to capture as husbands. So would you rather be chased down by the Wicked Witch or by Elizabeth Taylor and captured? And also,
well, wait a minute. Is this Elizabeth Taylor when she was, you know, American?
Well, any version. Well, wouldn't you? Why would you ever not prefer Elizabeth Taylor over the Wicked Witch?
Well, I mean, Elizabeth Taylor at 80.
But you'd rather go Wicked Witch?
Well, Wicked Witch could be fun.
No, why?
I think Elizabeth Taylor would be a lot more fun. You don't want to hear stories of legends?
Oh, I wasn't thinking about story time.
So you're...
Well, which Wicked Witch? The one that the house fell on or the one throughout the movie? Because
they're both wicked.
The other one, the one that lived was
heinous. One is the Wicked Witch of the East.
The one with the house on top could have been a smoke show. You don't know. All you saw was
I'll tell
shoes.
You what, that gave me bad dreams my whole life.
I just want to say.
The legs shriveling up.
Let me be the only one here to say, no hesitation, I'm taking Elizabeth Taylor over the Wicked Witch.
Jar from Oz gave me a great would you. I got late, but I'm going to do it right now because we create things.
Jar, are you going to Perth on Saturday for the big elimination chamber?
Would you rather everyone see a naked photo of you or everyone see a naked photo of your partner?
Absolutely my partner.
What?
For sure.
But what if she doesn't want to be seen?
Well, obviously.
Well, see, that's the whole idea.
I know, but doesn't that, Don, it kind of makes it impossible to answer then.
Right.
Because if you're going to tell me, then Natalie's going to be crushed
by it. You both would be crushed, so what would you want?
Well, obviously, I'd rather take it myself.
Of course.
Then. But if there, let me.
Better, Jarve.
No. Just I think Jarve knows. Jarve's not asking what Michael's saying, Don. Michael's ruining it by adding that caveat. Okay. What Jarve is saying is, would you rather the rest of the world see your partner nude or see you nude? He's not talking about her being upset by it.
Hmm.
If you include that part, obviously you're going to go with yourself.
All right, so you'd rather, but I'd rather see Natalie than you.
Yes, there's no, I mean.
I think I would go with me. I have no shame.
I'm going.
Yeah, I don't want everybody to see Jody naked. I'll take the hit.
Because
people would love it.
Because the better thing is you don't know. Like, you don't know how your wife's going to react.
I think it would get me an entirely new fan base. I might get an OnlyFans account. The whole deal.
The whole thing. Yeah. No, I think that, let me put it this way. A nude photo of Natalie comes out, my brand improves.
Yeah, but she may not like it.
I know, but I just can't include that part because it makes no fun for me. But a nude photo of me comes out.
It kills your brand.
There's no brand approved.
See, it would enhance my brand.
Is that how you feel?
Yeah, I do.
I think I'm pretty proud right now.
Yeah, I'm fine.
Well, you know, Don, you're in a good spot.
Let's go.
I don't know why.
Eric in Manhattan. Eric.
Hey, guys.
What's up?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
Great.
So I got two quick questions for you. First of which, you know, obviously it was a shock to see Giancarlo so thin in spring training. Do we buy into the fact that maybe he's taking a page out of Tom Brady's book and saying, I got to be more pliable and less jacked? Second question, and I know we've been covering this a couple days now. What is to be gained by Blake Snell and Jordan Montgomery just, you know, in purgatory of spring training? Doesn't their value go down the longer time goes on?
I don't think we're at that point yet, Eric, but obviously the deeper into spring training it goes, I think the value for the team goes down, and nothing's to be gained other than the fact that they don't have an offer that they think is worthy of them signing. I think they've backed themselves in the corner.
Yeah.
They probably, if what was reported that the Yankees offered Snell, they should have taken it. So, I mean, he wanted like 7 years, $210 million. Have you seen his career? I know he has two Cy Young Awards, but look at the other years. And Jordan Montgomery is a nice pitcher, and he helped the Rangers win a World Series. But, you know, you have to be realistic, too. He's a nice pitcher. He's probably a three, not a one or a two. Now, Snell would be a two with the Yanks. But, and as for Stanton, I think the change was out of necessity. The body was not holding up. Over the last couple of years. So he ran a lot and got leaner.
Now, if you're hoping that some stud pitcher, like, God forbid, Gerrit Cole gets hurt and the Yankees panic and give Snell what he wants, I mean, but that's no way to do business. Oh, maybe somebody will get hurt.
Well, I mean, if Senga is hurt, maybe the Mets will be involved.
Maybe. But right now, it looks like they're just the maintenance. And it's still deeper in the spring training when they might have word. And right. Is that any way to do business? Just, well, maybe somebody will get hurt.
Well, I've always been taught by a lot of people that are smart in business, wishing is not a good plan.
Mm-mm.
It's a bad plan. Sometimes it works out, but it's not a good plan. All right, we have Ian coming up in just a moment, but Peter is going to get you some better help.
Hey, guys. Peter Rosenberg here for BetterHelp. Which BetterHelp is it, though? Because I can't find my...
What a hack.
I had the one.
Hack. Worst
you know
hack.
What? I'm just going to read the one I have here. It's fine. Guys, you've heard me talk about BetterHelp before and how helpful therapy can be in your life. No matter what it is that you're looking for, whether you're looking to recharge your battery, whether you're looking to enhance your relationships, whatever it is that you need from therapy, it could be so useful for making your life better. I know it certainly has been for me. It's helped me out through the hardest of times. So if you're looking to work on coping skills, boundary setting, empowering yourself, so many things, you're considering therapy, consider giving BetterHelp a try. It's convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Peter today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/Peter. Check them out today. Hey guys, Peter Rosenberg here to tell you about my friends over at Bath Fitter. They remodeled my bath, did an incredible job, customized it for my needs, process easy, one expert installer, and done in one day. No demo, no mess. Bath Fitter is a permanent, high-quality solution with a lifetime guarantee. 3 million happy customers just like me for a limited time get 0% interest or save $500 on a complete Bath Fitter system. Start designing your bath today like I did at BathFitterDesign.com. There's only one Bath Fitter.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.